But please open in your Bibles to Jonah. We're continuing on through Jonah. We're looking at Jonah chapter 2 this evening. Actually, the last verse of chapter 1 on into chapter 2. We'll begin at Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and move on to Jonah chapter 2, the whole chapter. So beginning at verse 17 of chapter 1, hear now the word of the Lord. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Let's pray once again. Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom. We pray for insight and the blessing of your Spirit upon the reading and the preaching of your word. We rely solely and wholly on you. We pray you would bless us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have you praised the Lord lately for some deliverance or preservation he has brought your way? Perhaps you have praised him for delivering you from sin and death and giving you eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, for bringing you to faith. Perhaps you've praised him recently because he has brought dominion into your life, that he has brought victory in your life over some long-standing sin or lifestyle that you have been living, and he's brought you back to himself, and you're giving him thanks and praise for it. Or have you praised him recently for some physical protection that he has brought your way? I have a friend who recently almost cut off his finger while he was preparing food. He almost cut it off with a knife. But the Lord preserved him, and he only sliced off a little bit of his fingernail. And the first thing that came to his mind was, praise the Lord. Praise God. I have my finger. And I'm guessing even now when he remembers that incident, he's still praising God for protecting him from losing his finger. And that's the way it is whenever you remember the Lord and what he's done for you. When you call to mind how you've been delivered, it causes you to give thanks and praise to God. And this is what we have in our text this evening. Last time we saw Jonah, he had been cast into the sea so that the sailors would be spared. The storm was raging. Jonah said, throw me in. This is the Lord's will. They cast him in, and the sea was calmed. The men were spared, yet Jonah was going to drown. However, we see in our text tonight that the Lord rescued Jonah, and Jonah responds in prayer to God. And in his prayer, he recounts how the Lord delivered him. He remembers the Lord's deliverance, and he gives him thanks and praise. And that's my hope for you this evening, that you would remember the Lord's deliverance in your life. And as a result, you would give him thanks and praise. You would remember the Lord's deliverance, and that you would give him thanks and praise. The first thing we see in our text is how the Lord rescued Jonah from death and destruction. We see the Lord's rescue in verse 17 of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah had been cast overboard from the ship and into the sea, and now he's drowning in the midst of the sea. His sin and rebellion against God had brought him to this point, and now it was time for him to pay the consequences. But the Lord showed Jonah mercy. In an amazing display of God's providence, the Lord had prepared a great fish to rescue Jonah from his dire situation. And the word here, prepared or appointed in the Hebrew, can simply mean supplied. And it's just what the Lord did. He supplied this fish to rescue Jonah in his distress. Like a lifeguard who dives into a pool to save a drowning man from the bottom, God supplied this fish to scoop Jonah from the sea and bring him to safety. Our God is a sovereign God who exercises his providence, his control over all things, to carry out his purposes in this world. And here God exercises his sovereignty over his creation to bring about the deliverance of this man, Jonah. This verse is stated in such a way as to make it absolutely clear that though the Lord used means, he is the one who saved and rescued Jonah's life. And this is just how it is in your life. The Lord has rescued you from death and destruction by his sovereign power. At some point in your life, you were facing death and destruction. Your sin made you liable to the judgment of God. And whether you were an unbeliever who was liable to the pains of hell forever, or a believer living a disobedient life to the Father and experiencing his harsh chastisement and discipline, the Lord has made use of many means. He supplied many ways to rescue you from where you were and has brought you where you are today. He is the one who has rescued you from drowning in your sin and misery, and he is the one who is worthy of praise. And praise is just what Jonah gives the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 2 records that Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. He prays a psalm of thanksgiving to God. And he begins with a simple praise of the Lord's deliverance. He provides a simple summary, as it were, of Yahweh's salvation for him. Look at how he begins in verse 2 of chapter 2. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. After the great fish had swallowed Jonah in the sea, he realized that he had been rescued by the Lord. And he immediately responds with an overview of what happened to him. This verse serves as a summary of a more detailed account that he'll go into in verses 3 through 7. But right now he provides a simple summary of what the Lord has done for his rescue. Jonah here expresses the immediate joy of his rescue with a short and simple statement of the facts. He says, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, meaning from the depths of the grave, I cried, and you heard my voice. What Jonah says here summarizes his whole experience. It's kind of like when someone you know is playing in a championship basketball game, a game that you can't get to. You can't even see it on TV or hear it on the radio. And you're sitting at home anxiously awaiting the news of how the game went. You're wondering what happened in this game. And after the game's over, your friend can't wait to get home to tell you about how the game has occurred. And he walks into your house, and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, we won. We won. Those two words summarize what happened in the entire game, which he will undoubtedly go on to explain to you in more detail later. But for right now, the two words, we won, were enough to describe everything you needed to hear. And likewise, Jonah gives us two sentences. Jonah speaks two sentences to provide the initial summary of all that's gone on in his experience after he was cast into the sea. It's as if he was saying, I was about to die, and I cried out to the Lord, and he delivered me. That whole thing summarizes everything that Jonah experienced here. A simple confession like this in our lives can go a long way to reminding us of what the Lord has done for us. Simple phrases like, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I am alive. These simple phrases can remind ourselves of the simple way God has rescued us from death. And it's a good thing to have such phrases in our minds. It provides us with some orientation about who we are and how God is the one who is responsible for saving us. Little statements like this give us pause and cause us to praise our God for his deliverance. It may seem like a simple and easy thing to do, but I would encourage you to come up with some simple expression of how the Lord has delivered you and place them around your house or in your office somewhere to continually remind you that the Lord has done a work in your life. Maybe put one on your mirror in the morning so whenever you get up, you can see the first thing you see in the morning is how the Lord has delivered you. Maybe you could put one on your bedstand next on your nightstand next to your bed when you get home. So the thing you see before you lay your head down on your pillow for the night, after you've experienced a whole day worth of temptation, a whole day worth of distraction, is how the Lord has delivered you. That needs to be the focus of our lives, not the many distractions that we face. We need to remember what the Lord has done for us, and little reminders like that can help us preach the gospel to ourselves every day. And yet to meditate more deeply on what the Lord has rescued us from can all the more provide reason to praise our God. And that's just what we see Jonah doing. After he summarizes his affliction and his cry and his deliverance, Jonah goes on into more detail. He remembers how dreadful his condition was. Look at what he says in verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Jonah recounts in detail the awful condition that he was in before he was rescued. And in doing so, he heightens the awareness of how great God's deliverance had been. You've heard it said that the good news isn't good news until you've heard the bad. And what Jonah is thinking here is the bad situation that he was in. And it highlights and heightens the good rescue that God had provided in his life. And likewise, it's good for us to remember the dreadful condition that we were in. And not simply the fact that we were condemned to hell, but how you and I once walked according to the course of this world. How we were enslaved to the devil. How we continually obeyed the passions of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our bodies and of our minds. Remembering the depths from which the Lord has saved us will help us not to take God's grace for granted. And it will cause you and I to bless his name more and more. But we should not stop with remembering our dreadful condition. But we, like Jonah, should remember the point when we cried out to our God for deliverance. You can see this in verses 4 and 7. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Jonah recalls and brings to mind the point at which, when he was at the end of his rope, he had rebelled against God, and now he was experiencing the dreadful consequences of his sin. Everything in Jonah's world was crashing in around him, and his life was about to slip away. Yet the only thing that remained constant in his mind was the steadfast truth that Yahweh is a God of mercy. It was this truth that drove Jonah to this point. The fact that God was a God of mercy had brought Jonah here in Jonah's mind. So you see, Jonah had fled because he didn't want God to have mercy on the Ninevites. But now Jonah was at the mercy of this very same God. And when Jonah's soul had completely fainted within him, he remembered the Lord. He remembered the truth that God is mercy. And though I have been cast out of your sight, he says, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. It's as if he were saying, even though my sin has driven me from your presence, and I face judgment, yet I will look to you, my God, for mercy. The temple was where God had set his name. It was where the symbols of mercy and sacrifice and forgiveness and atonement were had for the forgiveness of sinners. This is where men found mercy for their sins. And now Jonah lifts his voice and prays to the temple of the Lord in heaven. His prayer went up to where the Lord was. He says, I prayed and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. It went up to heaven where God ultimately dwells and from where God's mercy ultimately flows. Now, do you remember the time when you cried out to God to be merciful to you? Do you remember when you came to the point when you recognized that everything in your life was lost apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? And you cried to him for mercy. Maybe you remember the time when you were first saved. Or maybe you remember the time when you finally stopped running from the Lord and you confessed the one you confessed in the past. Or maybe you remember crying out to God after you've sinned again. And yet he opened the fount of continual mercy upon you. And calling those moments to mind reminds you that the Lord was your only hope. And remembering those moments now reminds you that he still is your only hope. Such a reminder can and should lead you to honor and praise your God, because he is the only one who can bring you salvation. And that's just what Jonah calls to mind next. He remembers how the Lord brought him deliverance. Look now at the center of our passage in verses 5 and 6. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. Once again, Jonah points to the desperate situation that he had been in. When Jonah was drowning in the sea, he realized that his life was completely lost. He says, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. He knew that even though there was life still in him, he was as good as dead. Had it not been for the Lord, Jonah would have surely perished. Yet, he says, you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. In essence, Jonah is saying, you, my God, have brought me back from the dead. You have given me a resurrection of life. And was this not the case for you as well? For when you were dead in your trespasses, God raised you up with Jesus Christ. The curse of death with its bars closed behind you and threatened to hold you forever. Sin wrapped itself around your mind like the weeds wrapped itself around Jonah's head and held you in captivity. But the Lord brought you to life. He saved you. He freed you from the curse of death and from the enslavement of sin and Satan so that you could worship and serve and praise your Savior. And to worship and give thanks to God is the response of one who has been delivered. This is what we have to offer to God now, and it is a joy. And that's what Jonah does. He offers Yahweh thanks and praise. He says in verse 8, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Meaning that those who worship idols deny themselves any hope of mercy. Because false gods cannot save, they cannot give mercy to anyone. There is no hope for them. But I, Jonah says in verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. And why? Because Jonah says salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah's response to the Lord's deliverance was thanksgiving to God and a life willing to serve him. What else is there to give to God in return for his deliverance? All Jonah has to give is a voice that will render praise unto God and the life which God preserved lived for God's glory. And this is just what the Apostle Paul instructs you and me to do. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And the writer to the Hebrews says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Remembering the Lord's deliverance in your life will help you to do these things more and more. In verse 10, we are told that the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out of his mouth. Once again, we see the Lord exercising his control over his creatures by speaking to this fish. And the fish spits Jonah onto dry land. The Lord has the fish take Jonah where the sailors had so desperately tried to get him. But the Lord wanted to show that he was the one who would do it. He wanted to show Jonah how he was the God of deliverance, how he was the God who shows mercy to sinners. Jonah needed to learn that just as God showed mercy to him when he cried out to be saved so that he would worship God, God wanted to show mercy to the Ninevites so that when they cried out to him, he could show them mercy and grace and they would worship him. And this is one of the other lessons that can be learned from remembering your own deliverance. For when you think deeply of how you have been saved, you begin to really understand the heart that God has to see sinners saved. You see his passion for saving sinners, and then you become inflamed with that same passion. So let us remember the Lord's deliverance in our lives. Remember how the Lord has delivered you and rescued you from death and destruction. And every day praise him in a simple way for his salvation. Yet don't forget the details. Don't forget the dreadful condition that you were in. And don't forget the point when you cried out to God and he delivered you from your estate. Because as we talked about in Sabbath school this morning, those who are forgiven much love much. And likewise, those who are forgiven much praise much. So when you remember the Lord's deliverance in your life, when you remember from where he has brought you and from what he has saved you, you will give the Lord thanks and praise. So remember the Lord's deliverance in your life. Remember the Lord's deliverance and give him thanks and praise. Let's pray.